Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really glad to have with me another Taylor. His name is Chris Taylor, President and CEO of Great Bear Resources. It's a company that, you've heard about before, and you've heard from Chris a number of times before. One of the most exciting stories that I've been a part of and have invested in early on, I think we put it in our newsletter at somewhere around 30 cents in U.S. money. It's now around $6.50 in U.S. money, off its highs for sure. And, you know, you would think that maybe it's time to sell the stock, making that kind of money. And I certainly have taken some profits, I must admit to that. But there is a certain number of shares that I've vowed to hang on to because I think there's a lot of upside beyond where it is now. And maybe Chris can either agree with me or disagree, but that's the way I see it. Thanks for coming on again, Chris.
Nice to speak with you again, Jay.
It's really good to have you with me, and, it's really good to have successful people on the show, that's for sure. So that's an easy one. You've talked about your plans for 2020, your exploration plans. Talk just a little bit about what they are and why they are, why you're doing what you're planning to do this year.
Well, effectively, we've been successful to date with Great Bear, and some people, definitely pat me on the back and congratulate on how well everybody's doing and how much money they've made. But the real question is, how big is the gold system that we are looking at here at our Dixie project in Ontario, and what is that worth? And that's a hard question to answer, but it's a question that we're answering every day by drilling. And Great Bear is a great example of a company where I think it's over 90% of the capital that we raise turns directly into drilled meters coming out of the ground. And that's really, I think, one of the best metrics for how you can gauge how a company is generating shareholder value. And in our case, it's with drilling and with the results that are generated through that drilling. So the question then is, how much gold do we have? And I think I've been invited to all these conferences, like, I'm in London next week, I'm in New York next week, I'm in Montreal. I was invited to a conference in Amsterdam, I'm in Switzerland at some point in the near future, and I'm getting asked to speak about really what the comparables are to Great Bear's discovery. And there is a deposit in Canada, which is known as the Hemlo Gold discovery. Mm-hmm. And this was a discovery made in the early 1980s. And in today's dollars, it would certainly be worth billions of dollars. And what attracted us to that discovery as a comparable to what we have found on the LP fault target at our Dixie project is very similar geology, these felsic volcanics and volcanoclastic rocks, in contact with these big sediment units and all hosted by a big deformation zone. And we've been looking at that as a comparable because, in today's dollars, the billions of dollars that were captured there, it's now owned by a Barrick gold company who is now still mining all these years later. We're looking for comparables with the same sort of size or similar size potential and similar mineralization. And it's one that we keep getting drawn to. So the drilling that we're doing now is designed to show just how big the system might be at our Dixie project.
Right. And as I understand it, most of the focus now is on infill drilling within an area along the LP fault that is just a little bit under 5 kilometers. Do I have that right?
Yeah, and that's exactly correct, Jay. And I was on a phone call this morning with a very bright sort of market commentator, another fellow that basically follows the market in great detail. And he said, well, Chris, why do you keep stepping out along this LP fault instead of defining the zones that you already have? And I said, well, can you address that? And he said, well, you've stepped out a kilometer and you've hit more gold, and then you step out another kilometer and you hit more gold. And my answer to him was to say, effectively, it's the same zone. It looks very much like what we're dealing with is a multi-kilometer, single zone. I think what we're seeing in the drilling that we're doing is continuity of rock type, continuity of alteration, and continuity of mineralization over many kilometers. And that's very unusual. So that's really the crux of the discussions that I have these days, is to talk about something that doesn't have a lot of comparables in terms of the size of its footprint, And that's really our job here over the course of 2020, is to show that those dots all connect, if they do, and so far, so good, and to show, you know, what that means for the potential value of the property and the company.
Okay, so the focus now is on coming up with a resource so people can start to see, you know, what that 5 kilometers might contain, right? What sort of grades and how many ounces and the metrics that you need to start considering some economics, right? And so how soon might we get some of that infill, some of those infill drill results, Chris?
You're coming up to very soon. There'll be some information presented to the market, and I don't have an exact date for you, but we've been drilling very aggressively since about the 5th of January when the rigs started up after Christmas. So there's been 4 rigs drilling, and it's going to 5 very shortly. What we're going to do is release the results in by section. So there'll be a few drill holes at each location, at least a few, showing what the gold distribution and continuity is in each area. And as those are strung together area to area across the kilometers over the course of the year, that'll give everybody a very good idea about the number of ounces and grade, like you were alluding to. And we're aiming to get that initial resource product, that disclosure, into the market somewhere about a year from now. It's just going to take us, because it's a very big system, we probably have to drill 250 to 350 drill holes just across that one zone. And remember, there are other zones we found on the project too. Let's say that main zone is going to take us hundreds of drill holes to define in that manner. So it's just time. What we're just doing is time, but we're continuing to step out and test new targets as well with one of the drill rigs. But it should be, when you see results come out of Great Bear in 2020, the analysts and the other market commentators and anybody from a big mining company or whoever it is that has an interest in the story should be able to make those sort of estimates for themselves as we mm-hmm. put the meat on the bones of what we're looking at along LP Fault there.
Yeah, I would guess that's exactly right. They'll be watching to look for that continuity that you're that they're looking to see, because everything has been so widely spaced now. But Chris, one of the things that has always impressed me so much, and one of the reasons I jumped on this early, I think Gwen Preston was the first one to bring it to the Metals Investor Forum. Right after that, as soon as I heard the story, I said, this is really amazing because you're hitting on everything. And I made the crack that I don't remember this kind of consistency of hits since Briex. But of course, that was a fraud. And there was a reason why they kept hitting there. But you've been hitting now, admittedly, wide step outs, you know, long spaces in between each other. But when you hit that consistently on those wide space outs, spacings, is there any reason to think that there shouldn't be some continuity between those? I mean, like if, you know, I guess we don't know until the drill, the truth machine comes back and tells us for sure. But it seems to me as a layperson, I mean, I would be very disappointed if there's not a great deal of continuity between those widely spaced drill sites.
Yeah, and that's everybody's best due diligence point, is to look at that continuity to see if the gold zones hold together. And that's exactly what we're doing with the flow of results. And I think when you look at the type of system that this is in, it's not... these aren't a series of dikes or veins. This is effectively a fault zone that's so big it goes right down to the base of the continental crust, all the way down to the top of the Earth's mantle. So it's more than 14 kilometers deep, and it's many kilometers long. And when you look at it, it's because it's so big and it's been sheared up so much that these gold-bearing fluids could get into it consistently over such a big area. So it's our job, Jay, to drill it and to show you that that's the case. And as a geologist myself who's looked at many, many projects, sometimes things look good in an early stage and they look worse later on. In our case, the more we drill, the better it's been looking and the more we find. And I think a little statistic I could share with you is that of approximately 100 drill holes that we've completed on the project now over the last couple of years, only 6 of them don't have gold in them. And all of those 6 were not on target areas. They were just random targets. We tested, testing new ideas in various places. But I can't think of another project off of the top of my head that could drill across many kilometers on a property And, you know, you have something like, I think it's about a 90 to 95% success rate on hitting gold mineralization in the drill core on multiple targets over a big area. It's a function not of how wonderful we are as geologists. We're simply not that smart. It's a function, in fact, of this big shear zone hosted system that runs down the center of our property and has been an excellent source of access for these gold-bearing fluids.
Yeah, well, I don't know about this thing about how smart you are, but I do know that you looked at some ground that other people passed over many times in the past. So I don't know if modesty is required of you right now, Chris. I admire it, but in any event, one of your jobs also is to optimize shareholder value, and it seems to me you've done a remarkable job, you and your team. You've only got, 50-some million? How many shares out now? I didn't check before the show.
I think fully diluted, it's 53 million shares.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
Yeah.
You've done
45 million shares. Yeah. With the extra, a few warrants and some options.
And the size of your drill program this year is how many meters you're going to drill? And you're fully funded, I believe, for it, right?
Correct. It's a $21 million Canadian exploration program, and we're going to drill at least 110,000 meters, so 110 kilometers of drill core. It's the second largest drill program in Canada, which means that it's one of the largest fully funded drill programs in the world right now.
That's incredible. Oh, real quickly, I would like you to explain your spin out. You're doing a 2% spin out, and one of the things I've vowed is I'm going to hang on to my shares, every one of them, until I get my spin out, a 2% NSR spin out. Explain quickly to our listeners why you're doing that.
Well, we looked at the project and the data coming in and this, this hit rate that we've had with the gold drilling, and, you know, We don't have crystal balls. We can't predict the future. And our biggest concern at this point, which is odd to say, you know, I know we're confident, but we're more concerned that, a big company comes to us and says, we really like what you're seeing. We want to buy it before you have a chance to build it up to its, ultimate maximum value. And if they offered you, a very significant premium as the board of the company and in shareholder interest, at some point, at some level, you have to agree. And in that case, you lose control of the asset. But we are shareholders. Like, I'm a big shareholder of the company. The other board members are shareholders. We have friends and family and other associates as shareholders. It's a family of shareholders that we want to maximize value for, because we know these people and we want to benefit them. And it's also us. So we looked at this royalty, and this idea is a way to protect that value. You know, if we eventually lose control of the project and it becomes a large mine, the value of that royalty, we don't know what it is today. And today, because it's still a very early stage discovery process, it's not worth too much at the moment. But in the future, if it turns into a very large, significant deposit that's in production, the value of that royalty could be similar to the value of Great Bear as an entire company today. So that's the kind of value we want our shareholders to benefit from. I mean, we think, looking at it, that the prospects for the project are very, very good, and we think that that's why ultimately it could be purchased from us. And in that event, this is a great way to keep that long-term exposure and to make sure, after putting a decade of work into Great Bear to get it to the point of where it is now, we want to continue to benefit from it, and we want all of our shareholder family to benefit from that future exposure. Those kind of royalties have been the basis for some of the biggest, most profitable mining-related companies, these big royalty streaming companies that exist in our industry.
Absolutely. One more thing I just want to mention to my listeners before we have to go to the next segment, and that is that you've done a remarkable job, Chris, of explaining to lay people what you're doing, the geology and the purpose for what you're doing. And you have, I know in the past you've had webinars in which they've been very, very helpful to me to follow and understand your ongoing program. Do you expect to have any more of these webinars coming along anytime soon?
I would say that we are now overdue for another one of these teach-in sessions. So it's a great idea. It's something that we do on a regular basis. So I would look for news on that in the near future.
All right. Well, we'll have to leave it go at that. Thanks so much for being with us, Chris, and we'll look to do it again sometime in the near future. All the best in your travels.